Or will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Gray Matters, brought to you by Cypress Place and the law offices of Norman Dowler. And now your hosts, Sherry Kerman and Jim Duran.
Hey, everybody, it's Sherry.
Hi, and it's Jim.
How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great, Sherry. How are you?
Good. You have another great week?
Incredible week. It was really awesome. It went by really quick, but really, really an awesome week.
You were telling me that before, yeah. You said it's...
I woke up, and here we are. It's Saturday.
You woke up. Now, you told me last week, though, that you get sad if you don't wake up early because you don't get to experience...
The entire day.
I'm hoping that when you said you woke up and you went, oh my gosh, it's the end of the week, that it wasn't because you slept through the whole week.
I did not. Okay. No, not at all. A lot got done this week, and it was good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, welcome to everybody out there to another super weekend, another Gray Matters. We have some really great guests this week. Our first guest is a dear friend of mine, Luann Davis, and we're going to just talk to Luann about life in general and what she does and what she's did, and I think you'll all find that she's a very interesting and wonderful person. Then we're going to talk to a couple of guys about something pretty serious, and that's the use of chemical restraints in nursing facilities.
That's really serious.
Really serious. Not as fun as perhaps talking to Luann, but really, really, really important stuff to discuss.
Very educational. And you went to a symposium not too long ago that kind of explained a lot of these things. If I'm not mistaken, he was one of the...
Yeah, both speakers. Of these guys were main speakers at this. Tony Chikatel and Chris Cherney were both main speakers at this event back in March that Ventura County Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program put on. It was fabulous.
Yeah.
So we're really excited to have them on the show. And so it's going to be a great show.
As always.
And I just want to say hi to Spence, because we always forget to say hi to Spence. Hi, Spence.
Hello there. Good to be along, as always.
Absolutely. Spence runs our board, for any of you who don't know that already. We love Spence. Without Spence, it would be an awfully quiet hour. So, Luann, how are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy day to be on the show with us and just chat with us for a few minutes. We love that.
My pleasure.
Jim, you guys were having quite the conversation before the show started. I'm going to go ahead and let you start asking some of the questions you were asking.
It almost is as if we go way back. I mean, we've been at some of the same places and done some of the same things, and it's been great. But I, you know, getting to know you, I just loved what you said about about your age and about being 30 years old. That you remember how it was being 30. You feel like you're 30. But you'd never want to go back there again.
Absolutely not.
And tell us why, because I think it's fascinating how you feel in your outlook on life.
Well, I wouldn't want to go back there because I didn't know as much then as I know now. So I think having the basis for knowing who you are is really important. You can do all the things that you did at 30. Physically, you can kayak. You can do all of the
snow ski at Mammoth.
Snow ski at Mammoth. Absolutely, I snow ski all the time. I kayak all the time.
And you don't have a challenge at all saying how old you are.
No, I love my age. I'm 76.
76 years old, and you ski Mammoth.
Yes.
Plus.
Kayak, go to Antarctica.
Oh, my gosh.
And there are 30-year-olds who can't do that.
There are 20-year-olds that don't do that, that walk around in a slump, in a depression. They're walking around as if life doesn't exist or it's no good for them.
Well, I think that the problem is they haven't found something they can really be passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
So
passion is I think, the key.
And anyone who knows Luann knows that she's passionate about many, many things. But what do you think is there one thing that you can hang your hat on, one passion that sort of is a driving force throughout all of your life that helps with all this lust for life and energy and
positive attitude? You know, we all have problems in our life. I always look at a problem as a big boulder in front of me, and I either walk around it, crawl under it, or climb over, because you do get to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You just have to decide how you're going to do it.
Well, yes, and you have to know that you learn from those experiences.
Right, right.
It's the negative things that happen to us, I think, in life that allows us to understand all the good stuff as well.
Right, to appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Yes.
To appreciate it, but maybe also how to make more of it happen. If you can take a negative experience and not just say, oh, that was horrible and awful and icky and negative, but say, okay, now let's think about what can I take from this?
Exactly.
To make so that I maybe don't make the same mistake next time, or to do something better.
Sure.
Well, sometimes you have no control. Some things happen to you, not of your own making.
Right.
And I think those are probably the deepest challenges that we have, because we're not prepared to absorb what's happening. So mm-hmm. a positive attitude just makes all the difference.
Yeah, you know, we all go through the valleys, don't we? We
sure.
all go through them.
And yeah, it's a roller coaster, right?
There's
the highs and the lows. Yes.
And you know where the fruit is produced? In the valley. It's not on the mountaintops.
Well, that's
so
true.
So as you go through the valleys, I mean, you're gonna learn all of these things that is gonna put you in a place to where you're gonna learn more. You're gonna have more wisdom. Things are gonna be better in life. And so when you hit 50, 60, and 70, man, things are great.
I can't imagine being any other place in my life than where I am right now. And I never think about, gee, I wish I was.
You're at
55.
KVTA with Sherry and Jim? Is that what you mean?
it's a great place to be with all that's happening in our world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Health is certainly part of the assets that some of us have and some of us.
Sure, and some of us don't have health, and I guess, you know, that can make a tremendous impact on what you're able to do sometimes physically, but that can affect you at 30 also as well
sure.
as at 70.
Absolutely.
You know, you made another comment earlier about that when you reached 50, you thought this is the best part of life, but then you kind of went on from there.
I did. Well, 50 sort of was a milestone for me, as it probably is for a lot of people. I'm really not sensitive to age per se. If you were to ask me how old you are, I don't have a clue, because it's not an important thing mm-hmm. to me. But when I was 50, it was almost a celebration mm-hmm. because I felt that I was embarking on this best half of my life.
So you already had a sense, even just going into it,
yes.
This is it. This is going to be as good as it's been. This is going to be better.
Absolutely. Okay. And so when I hit 50, it was a great celebration. And I said, whoa, this is just really great. And then I was 60. That was even better.
Wow. And did that surprise you? Or did you come into 60 with a sense that this is going to keep getting better?
I came in with a sense it was going to keep getting better.
Okay. And then the same with 70.
Absolutely. Better yet. The best.
The best. And so what are you thinking about 80? That's going to be even better?
You know, it's real interesting. I don't think about 80.
Okay.
At this point, I haven't thought about it. At 76, I'm just kind of going through the 70s.
Right.
I enjoy great health, which is obviously a good thing. Yeah, 80 is it's kind of a round number. 70 has kind of a stick look to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 80 probably is going to be a kind of a soft.
Interesting. So, you know, I have to ask and I have to wonder, you know, you are always positive and you are a go-getter and your whole life has been about attacking, not in a bad way, but just, you know, with full heart and full spirit, whatever you were doing, just going at it 100%. And obviously, that's how you've approached age as you've gone through life. When you were growing up, I mean, were your parents like this as well? Or are you unique? Because, you know, not everyone is like this, Luann, and I'm sure you see it. I mean, I know a lot of people who they're not saying 70 is going to be great. They're going, oh my God, 70, and this is going to hurt, and that is going to hurt. And I believe that the mind controls so much of what's going on.
And they're right, Sherry. When they think it ends up hurting.
Well, or maybe it hurts anyways, but you can mm-hmm. say, I'm going to take an aspirin and off we go. I mean, I have aches and pains at 43 and they don't get me down. It is what it is. It's all part of it. Sometimes I pull a muscle and sometimes I don't. But if you're anticipating all the pain or all of those things, was your family like this as well? Or are you unique like this? And how do we all, and how do we absorb this? Because This is how I want to approach
well,
my life.
Luann, let me ask you this question. Have you, in the last, you know, decade, whatever, even now in your life, do people go up to you and go, I can't believe how busy you are. Can't believe how much you do.
Yes.
And how do you look at that? You go, well, it's what I do.
Exactly.
Isn't that funny how people perceive you as busy? People tell me that all the time. I know you're busy. Well, thank you for telling me that.
but you know, if you want something done, you give it to a busy person.
That's right.
Right.
Because busy people are really organized.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I just have a lot of things I need to do. I have things that I want to do. I have things that I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to do those things because it makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. And some of it is business related and some of it is personal related. You do a lot of mediation right now.
Exactly.
Right, because you're working mm-hmm. with Karen, who was on the show a few weeks ago.
Right, a conflict resolved.
Mm-hmm. And you've told us some great, I remember the story about the horse. That was a great story. But you deal, you're focusing a lot, I think, on elder mediation as well.
We would like to go in that direction, yes. But if you'd like me to answer the question
yes.
that you asked a few minutes ago. I was raised by my grandparents, both my maternal and my father's parents and my mother's parents, mostly my mother's parents. They both had a zest for life.
Okay.
My father's parents were much older.
Okay.
Because my father was much older than my mother. I come from, on both sides of the family, people with long lives.
So, I mean, genetics certainly is part of it. Some of us genetically are built to last, and some of us genetically not so much.
I think the gene pool has something to do with
yes.
it, because my parents, my grandparents, were not ill people. They were always busy doing something. My grandparents, Davis, since they were older, lived in a Victorian house, had an acre garden that they mm-hmm. call their victory garden that they worked all the time. They went on to the next plateau in their late 90s. My grandparents, Van Etten, were business people. They also, I have to sort of throw this in, my grandmother was a bit of a hypochondriac.
Mm. Okay.
But she had nothing wrong with her.
But, okay.
That was her attention-getting mechanism.
Okay.
And she was just a delight.
Right.
Everyone loved her, but you never ask how she was feeling.
You don't ask how she is, okay.
Because she would tell you for half an hour or half a day, depending upon, you know, her mood. So
but everybody very active.
Very.
So again, you know, it's the whole chicken egg thing, right, Jim? Are we long lived? Are we active in part because we've got the genetics there, or maybe the reason we're living longer, those of us who are, is because we're active, right? I mean, and I'm sure it's some combination of the two. But
I can tell you, you know, at Cyprus, I can tell you that the active ones seem to live longer.
Right.
It's just kind of what it boils down to. But you know what's funny too is the active ones are positive. They're
right.
excited about life. They're excited about going out and doing this. And we just had a gentleman come back from a 3-day vacation, and he comes walking in with his golf clubs. And I said, "So did you go golfing?" He goes, "Nope. Had more fun doing other stuff." And I thought, see?
Right.
You know, but just in case he wanted to go golf, and he brought them.
He brought them, right.
And I thought, and his outlook on life is so awesome. And it's, you know, those people end up, it seems like, lasting a lot longer.
I think part of the problem that we have in our society is television.
Okay. Because it makes us sedentary?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't happen to have a TV in my house and mm-hmm. haven't had one for probably 15 years.
Wow.
I made the decision that I was not going to join the crowd
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. of people who sat and watched TV or got involved in a particular TV program.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a small piece of it, but I think that's part of the secret of staying active, mm-hmm. not getting involved in a pretend story,
right.
but going out and talking with people, joining people, doing volunteer work,
mm-hmm.
Getting out there and meeting people,
mm-hmm.
you know,
feeling some value.
Sometimes I show up at, you know, places, family reunions, whatever. Sometimes in the break rooms of different places where I go and visit. And you know what the conversation boils down to? Is what was on TV the night before. And their whole life revolves around this show. And I agree with you 100%. You know, in regards to watching TV, not only does it not allow us to be active, but it teaches us things that are not the way we should think.
Exactly.
You know, it moves us in directions we shouldn't be going.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a pretend world.
And then they tell us what is old, what is seniors, what is wrong, what is right. You know, who are they to?
What are we supposed to look like? What are we supposed
exactly,
to wear?
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly.
How are we supposed to age?
I agree.
So are you going to get rid of the TV in your house?
What TV? I have, you know what, we used to have a TV in every room growing up, you know, but
right.
no, that's history. And there's certain times that our kids are able to watch it, mm-hmm. you know, there's certain times that mm-hmm. they're allowed to, but get outside.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let's go do something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, the physical exercise, you know, just even walking or running mm-hmm. Gives you that euphoric feeling that you can't get any other way. Other than yeah.
right.
physical
That's
exercise.
Right.
It's the endorphins, right?
Yes,
the physical
exactly.
exercise.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Wow, we're running out of time.
No.
I know.
No.
But
no!
I know, it's what always happens. It just goes so fast. But Luann, I want to welcome you to stay and be part of our discussion with our next guests, because I think it's going to be really interesting and we'd love to have your input as well. So I hope that you can stay with us. And thank you again so much for coming today and talking about, you know, I aspire every day to be like Luann in every way. Everything that I know about Luann, everything that I've learned about Luann, I think, that's who I want to be right now. You're an amazing woman. You do so many things for the community. You're always out there. You have such a wealth of experience. Thank you so much for taking time, because you are a busy person. So thank you for taking time out of your busy day.
It was my pleasure. The time went too fast.
It always does. Yeah.
Luann, it was great to actually formally meet you, but it's great seeing you again.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about chemical restraint, which is something that's very, very important and something we all need to know about. But first, our commercial break. Thanks.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started into hum.
Jim Duran here, Executive Director of Cypress Place Senior Living in Ventura. Do you have a loved one or a family member with Alzheimer's or dementia? Are you struggling to care for them? If so, we invite you to come by and visit our beautiful assisted living community with a special memory care area for residents with Alzheimer's and dementia. We have spacious apartments that can be rented on a month-to-month basis, either privately or shared, and include 24-hour supervision by our specially trained caregivers. Amenities include 3 gourmet meals daily. We also have housekeeping, laundry, linen service, utilities, transportation, and a full schedule of daily activities that build esteem and nurture the mind, body, and soul. Please come by to see how your family member or loved one can live the life they deserve and how you, once again, can regain your own peace of mind. To schedule an appointment today, please call 650-8000 or you can visit us on our website at cypressplaceseniorliving.com.
When you're considering a reverse mortgage, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. If you're a homeowner at least 62 years of age, a reverse mortgage may help you convert your home equity to tax-free loan proceeds. Contact a reverse mortgage consultant today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Consult a tax advisor. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., is an equal housing lender. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
For more information and to find out how a reverse mortgage could benefit you, call 866-398-5638. That's 866-398-5638.
Hi, this is Sherry Kerman of Norman Dowler, the law firm you can trust to get it right, proudly representing the people of Ventura County honestly, ethically, and with great integrity for over 50 years. Norman Dowler is among the preeminent law firms in Ventura County and has a team of dedicated professionals who consistently exceed the expectations of our clients. Legal matters are no laughing matter. When you're faced with a legal crisis, you want the best representation. Norman Dowler, 654-0911 or visit normandowler.com.
Welcome back, everyone.
What a great first interview we had with Luann.
I know, and Luann stayed, so we're really excited. So she's going to be part of the rest of the show, just hanging with us and talking to our next guests. We have Tony Chikatel and Chris Cherney on the phone. How are you guys doing?
Great, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Hi, guys.
I don't know who said hello first.
That's me, Tony.
Oh, Tony. Okay, hey, Tony. And then I heard Chris back there, too.
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. Thank you. First of all, thank you, gentlemen, both so much for joining us today to talk about this most important subject. I want to just take a couple of minutes and maybe let each of you introduce yourselves and tell us just a couple of minutes about, you know, what you do and how you got involved in all this. So, Tony, why don't you start?
Okay. My name is Tony Chikatil. I am a staff attorney for California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform. California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform is a nonprofit organization with offices in San Francisco and Pasadena. We advocate, as the title suggests, for residents of long-term care facilities. I've been at Canner for about 4.5 years, and prior to that I was in San Diego in their Elder Law and Advocacy Program, another nonprofit organization. And when I was down there, I started a nursing home rights enforcement project. The organization focuses on senior legal issues, and I was getting a lot of calls and had a lot of concerns about long-term care, and then eventually started a new project down there, and that experience led me to Canner. And
here you are.
Yeah, since I've been at Canner, I've been working on a lot of resident rights issues, and one of the most prominent ones in the last couple of years has been the use of antipsychotic drugs on nursing home residents.
Right, which is what we're going to talk about in just a sec. Chris, what about you? Give us a quick little rundown on your background.
Okay. I have been a nursing home administrator in California since 1997, so I'm in my 15th year as a nursing home administrator. And before that, I was a nursing home ombudsman, or patient rights advocate, mm-hmm. in Alameda County. And I'm currently pursuing a master's in gerontology at San Francisco State University. And over the past 2 years in particular, I've been learning a great deal about psychoactive drugs and antipsychotic drugs in particular, and how these drugs in the aggregate may in fact do more harm than good.
Right, and that's the focus of this next segment, is what's going on. There was a symposium in Ventura at the end of March that both of you gentlemen, you were both speakers at, that was put on by the Ventura County Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program here, and it was eye-opening, frightening, but so informative and so important. And we talked about it right after the symposium, but I wanted to have you two on have an opportunity to really talk more about it, because this is a real epidemic going on in our nursing homes, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, Tony, could you explain to our listeners, what are chemical restraints? What does that mean exactly?
Okay, well, there's a lot of psychiatric drugs that are used in nursing homes and other long-term care settings, or just generally on elderly people. They fall in four classifications. One is the antipsychotic drugs, which are FDA-approved for treatment of mental illness, such as schizophrenia. Then there's antidepressant drugs, which I think most people know about. There are anti-anxiety drugs that are commonly referred to as tranquilizers that keep people mellowed out in some way. And then there's the hypnotic drugs, which are usually referred to as sleeping agents. So within these four classifications, there are suspected advantages to people with elderly people with dementia to receive those drugs, whether it's to help them sleep at night or to prevent them from having, quote, behaviors.
And all four together are called
psychoactive,
right.
Psychotherapeutic. There's
okay.
lots of names. I like the term psychotropic. That's the one I kind of grew up using.
Okay.
There's these four classifications of drugs. Now, the application of these drugs, or the administration to elderly people or people in long-term care facilities, isn't in and of itself a chemical restraint. The chemical restraint definition is when the drugs are used specifically for the purpose of preventing somebody from acting in a particular way, when it's meant to subdue and sedate a resident and for the convenience of the staff.
Right. And so that's important for everyone to understand, is that just a prescription of these drugs in and of itself isn't a problem. It's when they're being prescribed not to deal with an on-label issue like psychosis or something like that, but when it's used to essentially restrain or sedate the person so they stop the behavior that the facility or the family or the doctor is finding problematic.
So give us an example of what that behavior would be. What would somebody be doing where someone would want to administer this drug to keep them from doing something?
Well, a typical behavior is crying out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times this happens in the evenings or at night when residents or other residents are trying to sleep, and it becomes very frustrating for the staff to deal with. So you'll have somebody allegedly with dementia who suddenly cries out and shouts the same, a lot of times a repetitive phrase, over and over again for several minutes up to hours. And I think in a lot of facilities, unfortunately way too many facilities, the first response of the staff would be, rather than trying to find out what the root cause of the problem is to just call a doctor and ask for a pill to put the person to sleep.
Right, and that's the crux of it right here. Instead of finding out the root problem, simply medicating, that's where the chemical restraint comes in. And Chris, in your experience, how difficult is it to really go that extra step and find out what the root cause is?
Well, I am learning, and we in the field are learning, that there are innovators out there across the country who have found relatively simple and easy ways to get to the root of the behavior without calling the doctor to get an order for a drug. But providers, me included, have to change our thinking and start to think of the behaviors not as symptoms of a disease, but perhaps as communication. What is the demented person trying to communicate to us,
mm-hmm.
providers, and what unmet needs, perhaps, are being communicated by a resident who is yelling out repeatedly?
Because it could be something very simple.
It could be something very simple.
That they just don't have the words to express.
Yes, and one example comes to mind. I heard a story recently about a resident in a nursing home who was yelling every evening after dinner, "I need a line. I need a line.
I need a line.
I need a line." He wouldn't stop. And the staff in this nursing home actually role-played his behaviors after dinner. And because of their role-play, wondered whether a line was a telephone line.
Mm.
And they found out that he was a traveling salesman for his career. And when he was on the road, he called his wife every night. Over the course of his career,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to talk to his wife after dinner. So they got him a phone, and his behaviors improved.
And how long did that process take?
As I recall the story from another provider,
mm-hmm.
It didn't take long.
Yeah.
Right.
It took a while for the staff to come to realize that they needed to role play, but that's a great example of a non-drug approach to trying to understand the need that underlies the behavior.
And to role play to try to figure out what he meant.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, that being the case, why wouldn't skilled nursing, why wouldn't that be the immediate response to try to role play to talk them through it? Why wouldn't that be that?
Well, I think that it's not part of our mindset. We tend to position the behaviors as a symptom of the disease. And so if someone is yelling out, we tend to think, oh, he's crying because he's demented.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know what's going on.
Correct.
Instead of there's something there.
Right, but if you guys were crying, we would ask, hey, what's going on? What's wrong? Because we wouldn't presume that your behavior is symptomatic of your disease process.
And if a child was crying, we figure out what's going on. There's this, you know, when I was a kid, there's a story that my parents love to tell about 2 hours they were looking because I was yelling and crying for my dundasses, and no one could figure out what I meant. Well, no one thought, well, just, you know, give her a drug and put her to sleep. They figured out, in a sense, role played, I guess, to try to figure out what did she mean? What are dundasses?
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost the same thing. If the communication skills are starting to go away, you've got to step in, I guess, as a parent and figure out what they're trying to communicate.
I'm assuming Chris and Tony is, when you're on staff and you're a caregiver on staff, and all of a sudden one of your many residents starts acting inappropriately, the easiest thing to do is give them a medication, calm them down, because you got so many things to do. Is it because most places are understaffed? Is that what's happening?
Well, I think there's certainly a correlation between lower staffing levels and higher rates of psychotropic drug use, and that's, we now have some individual, we have data on the individual use levels at nursing homes that we can, that we're going to run against staffing levels and see if there is in fact a correlation. But I think generally that's, we see more complaints about drug-related, over-drugging-related issues at facilities that are lower staffed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one other thing that I would want to mention about this is nursing homes are sort of predicated on a very medicalized model of care that started in the 1950s and early 1960s when people that came to nursing homes were often very physically ill but didn't really have, I think, the same level of incidence with mental health issues. Now, you know,
I think it's the opposite, probably.
Yeah, 50 years later, now nursing homes are, I think, considered a repository of last resort for people with mental health issues, and most mm-hmm. notably dementia. So this medical model of we've got problem and we need to medicalize it and give a pill to resolve it is outdated, but it's still, it's ingrained in that culture.
Well, look at Medi-Cal, right? Medi-Cal is for skilled nursing facilities, which has with it a medical aspect of it, and someone with dementia or Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia, it's a very different kind of care they need.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to speak to the staffing issue, if I may.
Absolutely.
So I'm a proponent of more staffing. I think more staffing is always better. And yet, to answer your question, I'm not sure that it's always about more staffing. Some of the most innovative facilities in the country, including a facility in Phoenix called the Beatitudes, has mm-hmm. implemented a lot of non-drug interventions without increasing staffing.
Actually, they decreased their cost, didn't they? If I recall, they spoke at the symposium as well, and she talked about when they moved over to this model where they were finding out what was going on with their residents and not using medication, but working and getting to know the residents and what we're talking about here, their costs actually went down a little bit.
Their costs for the drugs certainly went down.
Right.
And the cost to implement what they call a culture of comfort cost mm-hmm. about, as I recall, $12,000. So
mm-hmm.
it's relatively inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back to why staff may so quickly try to resolve the behaviors with drug intervention. The staff are doing their best and are attentive also to the needs of the other residents who may be upset or agitated by
or the families.
Behavior or the families.
Or the families.
And it's very mm-hmm. distressful to other residents and families and visitors to hear crying or to experience what is called wandering in and out of rooms. So there's some of that staff motivation to resolve it as quickly as possible. And so there is some sense of urgency
sure.
and anxiety in the staff.
Sure, but I think a lot of times, too, and let me know how you feel about this, it's the culture that they work in, too.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't been taught to, hey, let's figure it out, let's talk through this first, then they're going to go the other route.
It's trickling down. They're
mm-hmm.
going to do
whatever they're
taught to do.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You're right about that. So I think we must change our mindset
mm-hmm.
about the behaviors and do as we're saying, try to dig into, you know, what may be the unmet need. How might the person be in pain? What's causing discomfort? And then treat those needs, those discomfort.
And, you know, I remember Beatitudes, the woman who was speaking on behalf of Beatitudes also talked about their turnover rate. And I think their turnover of staff went down when they switched over to this model because the staff was happier.
Well, I can tell you that RCFEs have an 85% turnover rate. Residential care facilities for the elderly have
That's
an
huge.
85% turnover rate.
Right.
So, you know, they're coming in and out, and if they're not trained properly, the right way to do things, boy, it's tough. You know, let me ask you this question. Up in Northern California, I know down here it's affected us, but we're talking about people that have mental issues. There's not very many places down here in Southern California to send senior citizens that have mental issues, so they end up in skilled nursing.
Which isn't really maybe appropriate anyways.
No, absolutely not. Well, do you know of anything that we're trying to do about that? I mean, is that affecting you up in Northern California as well?
It's a common concern of hospitals who may have elderly patients with behaviors or dementia or mental illness to place them. So we have the same experience that you're having down there
mm-hmm.
in terms of having a hard time placing demented persons with behavior. That's a big issue that you could probably spend a whole show on.
Right, sure.
But it does come up regularly up here in Northern California, that these patients are difficult to place. Now, being in an institution in and of itself can exacerbate many of these behaviors. And so it's important, I think, for us providers to look at our environment of care and see what in our environment of care may be precipitating the very behaviors that are making the placement of these patients difficult.
And Chris, I remember you discussing, too, you had a couple of really simple suggestions, like if you had a resident who was coming from the hospital to a facility, perhaps even the time of day that they arrived could make a huge difference.
That is important. It's not uncommon for persons with dementia to become more agitated as the sun sets or as the ambient lighting changes. So if a resident can be discharged earlier in the day and become accustomed to the new environment when the light is still bright, that can help to transition the person from one setting to another.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a really easy thing, discharge them from the hospital earlier.
It's easy to imagine that, but there are many reasons why people, you know, some families work and can't pick up their parents from the hospital till later in the evening.
Right.
So, yeah, we can become creative, I think.
But we can become creative. Let's switch gears for a second and let's talk dollars with chemical, because there's a dollar cost to these chemical restraints too. And these medicines, a lot of times they're covered by programs that are supported by taxpayers. So, what is the cost of these medications on the taxpayer dollars? Do we know?
We do know. In fact, a report just came out this past Monday, a few days ago, and the Department of Health and Human Services Office of the Inspector General looked at the cost of these drugs for Medicare beneficiaries in nursing homes. And they determined that just in 6 months in 2007, the Medicare spent on just eight antipsychotics, just eight drugs, $300 million.
Oh, my gosh. In California?
Nationwide. Yes.
So 6 months in 2007, only eight particular drugs, $300 million nationwide.
Right. And the report concluded that $116 million of that money was unnecessary spending, using the government's definition of unnecessary drugs.
In terms of off-label use, is that when you're saying unnecessary?
Yes, off-label conditions or persons diagnosed with dementia, which is specified in the FDA black box warning for these eight drugs.
That is huge.
Yeah, well, the $116 million was quote, erroneously spent was not just for off-label use. It was where the prescription guidelines of the federal government were not satisfied. So the drugs can be used off-label by the federal standards, but there's a certain level of criteria that need to be satisfied. So the $116 million, just over a six-month period and just on a really subset of these drugs, was what the federal government was looking at. So if you extrapolate that over the course of a year and then you include all of the other potential drugs that are misused, psychiatric drugs that are misused, you're probably looking at somewhere around half a billion to $1 billion per year just for Medicare. Now, we're not talking Medicaid yet.
Right, Medicaid or Medi-Cal, right. And so that's the monetary part of it. But, of course, I think the most important part is what it's doing is the cost of life. Because a senior who is on these antipsychotic drugs inappropriately are twice as likely to die. Is that right?
Yeah, it's 1.6 to 1.7.
More likely to die while they're on the medication.
Yeah.
So people are dying. If you can excuse the inappropriate sedation, if you can excuse the monetary cost, then the next problem is they're dying.
Tony. What can we do to fight chemical restraints? What can we do?
Well, there's all sorts of things that we can do collectively as a community. I think the first thing we need to do is to educate, and that's, you know, why radio programs like this are so great, to let people know, particularly elderly people or people who care for elderly people or family members of elderly people, to know that these drugs need to be questioned and they need to be thoroughly vetted before any senior person with dementia is given them. Now, the administration is typically wrong on so many levels. We have issues of autonomy where the consent of the patient isn't sought and the family members have no input. There's the issue of whether or not it was...
Even though you're supposed to have informed medical consent, right?
Yeah, right. There's the issue of whether or not the drug was advisable in this situation, whether we're just sort of glossing over a larger issue, that things that Christopher talked about, where you've got something that's pretty easily remedied, and yet we're unnecessarily drugging. And then you've got the issue of the dangers. So all of these things need to be thrown out there for consumers and their family members to know about. And then I think we need to start demanding other options. And fortunately, we're getting more and more examples of places and providers that do it a different way and have much, much better outcomes.
So education of the families, education of the facilities, and education of the doctors.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so talk to us, Tony, about Canner's campaign, because Canner's really involved in this to end this misuse. What is Canner doing specifically right now?
Well, the main thing we're doing is getting the word out right now, and we've got a website. It's built off of our homepage. It's canhr.org, and then if you go to the Canner website, you can click on to our Stop Drugging page, and on there we've got a lot of information about the dangers of the drugs and the statistics regarding the drugs, and like I said, we have actual facility-specific data, so you can look up a nursing home and find out how many of their residents receive psychotropic drugs under the four classifications.
Right.
That's part of it. We're also heavily involved in trying to change policy, and that starts with starting with the Department of Public Health and getting them, because what's funny is, or ironic, is that the laws regarding misuse of drugs are really good. It's not as if we need a whole lot of new laws, but the enforcement has been really lackluster. So mm-hmm. we've been trying to work. It's been frustrating at times to work with the Department of Public Health to get them to more actively enforce the laws. We've been trying to bring media attention to the issue, and eventually we do want to do some legislation, and we're looking at maybe next year for some new state legislation that will beef up the informed consent requirements.
Great. That's great. Guys, we're out of time. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks, Chris and Tony. Great job. Thank
you. Absolutely.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break so everyone can kind of absorb that information there for a couple of minutes. And when we come back, we've got one of our sponsors who's going to spend a couple of minutes with us. And thank you again to Tony Chickatell and Christopher Cherney. And we'll be right back. This is Gray Matters.
Hi, Jim Duran here, Executive Director of Cypress Place Senior Living in Ventura. Do you have a loved one or a family member with Alzheimer's or dementia? Are you struggling to care for them? If so, we invite you to come by and visit our beautiful assisted living community with a special memory care area for residents with Alzheimer's and dementia. We have spacious apartments that can be rented on a month-to-month basis, either privately or shared, and include 24-hour supervision by our specially trained caregivers. Amenities include 3 gourmet meals daily. We also have housekeeping, laundry, linen service, utilities, transportation, and a full schedule of daily activities that build esteem and nurture the mind, body, and soul. Please come by to see how your family member or loved one can live the life they deserve and how you, once again, can regain your own peace of mind. To schedule an appointment today, please call 650-8000 or you can visit us on our website at cypressplaceseniorliving.com.
When you're considering a reverse mortgage, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. If you're a homeowner at least 62 years of age, a reverse mortgage may help you convert your home equity to tax-free loan proceeds. Contact a reverse mortgage consultant today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Consult a tax advisor. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., is an equal housing lender. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
For more information and to find out how a reverse mortgage could benefit you, call 866-398-5638. That's 866-398-5638.
Hi, this is Sherry Kerman of Norman Dowler, the law firm you can trust to get it right, proudly representing the people of Ventura County honestly, ethically, and with great integrity for over 50 years. Norman Dowler is among the preeminent law firms in Ventura County and has a team of dedicated professionals who consistently exceed the expectations of our clients. Legal matters are no laughing matter. When you're faced with a legal crisis, you want the best representation. Norman Dowler, 654-0911 or visit normandowler.com.
Hello. My name is Steve Arnold with Arnold Financial Services. Along with my business partner, Kevin Tolsma, we provide over 50 years of combined financial markets experience. There are solutions to your investment dilemmas, even in these volatile times. We would love the opportunity to discuss your financial situation. Please give us a call for a complimentary evaluation appointment. Our number is 805-384-9212. That's 384-9212. 9212. Ask for Steve.
Stephen Arnold and Kevin Tolsma are registered representatives offering securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Money burns a hole in my pocket.
Welcome back, everybody. Another fabulous intro song by Spence. Thanks, Spence.
Dean Martin did it, not me.
Yeah, but you find them. And on the fly, it's amazing. That was a pretty amazing interview, that last segment, wasn't it?
It's been great so far. All day, it's been great.
The As whole always time. Is, yeah. Isn't it? It always Amazing. Is. Good stuff. A lot of things to think about. This is a conversation with these chemical restraints that I think we can have ongoing. There's just so much out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We are now honored to be joined by two of our sponsors, Kevin Tolsma and Steve Arnold of Arnold Financial Group. How are you guys doing today?
They're doing great.
Yeah, very good.
Good, good. Thank you for coming in and talking to us for a couple of minutes here. We wanted to talk about... We want to talk about fear.
Because that
whole last segment feared me. So we're going to continue with this theme of fear and one fear that people have of investing, right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the biggest detriment to the market right now is there's so much fear.
And what is that fear? What are they afraid of?
They're afraid of a lot of things, and we have to be careful because we are the media, but the media is so much more prevalent now. People are getting a lot more data. They're afraid of inflation. They're afraid of oil prices going up. They're afraid of stock market crashes. They're afraid of derivatives.
You're talking about the debt ceiling now, right?
And the problem is that while many of these fears are well-founded, there's lots of good, positive investments out there, and people are not looking into it. That's the problem.
How are your investors doing?
We're doing fine. If you're fully invested and you're well diversified and you keep on top of things, they're getting better than market rates of return.
They're getting better than market rate. That's awesome. So people what should they do? They should call you because obviously they shouldn't fear what's going on right now necessarily because people are they're making money.
Right. And a lot of like with anything in life, the unknown a lot of times creates fear. And if you invest the time to understand what's going on to get the input. I've had a lot of conversations with people fearful about inflation, what's happening to our economy with our debts going up and up. And we all know, a household cannot continue to spend more than it's bringing in forever. At some point, something's got to give.
Right.
And so why not position your assets for that type of scenario? There are things you can go into that would tend to do well in an inflationary environment or in an environment where the dollar is devaluing against the other currency. So rather than sitting back in fear and hoping that none of that's going to happen, you need to take the bull by the horn and say, okay, if we are into that type of environment, how do I want to position things?
Mm-hmm.
But the other challenge that comes up is people, naturally, you want to keep things safe, especially when you don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm just going to keep it in the bank. And well, we have.
And that brings up an interesting point, right? Because most seniors are on a fixed income. So I think on top of everything else, there's that fear, too, of my income is extremely fixed. It's not going to go up. It's, if anything, it's going to go down, right? So what can they do? How do you get over that? That's just one extra added fear. How do you get over that to make your money work smarter for you?
Yeah, well, you've hit right on it, because the challenge today is, you know, whether you're a senior or any age, for money you have in the bank, you're not getting the interest rates you got 10 years ago.
You're almost paying the bank.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the joke, right?
Sometimes.
You know, they can't drop below zero or you are paying the bank. That's a challenge, and so there are other investments out there that offer better returns than what you can get at the bank and still keep things relatively safe.
Yeah, we know that banks are struggling a lot because of the real estate market. They're not lending money out. They're not making money. But corporations are. They're very profitable, and they're sitting on tons of cash, and there are very, very strong corporations that have been around for years and years that are paying very high dividends,
and you're talking
5-6%.
And you're talking about publicly owned.
Yes.
So people
very visible.
That people can invest in the stock market.
Absolutely.
Either directly or maybe through a fund or something.
And then we do a lot with what's called non-correlated investments, where people who are just afraid of the market and don't want to have any part of it, there are investments that have no correlation to the stock market that are still giving good reasonable rates of return.
Give me an example of one of those.
Non-traded REITs. Which is a publicly owned real estate managed by a large corporate realty manager, and they are paying mostly around 6-7%.
Right.
You hear investments that are aggressive and investments that are conservative, and I'm assuming you have all of that in your portfolio.
Right. Right. I mean, on the more conservative side, one of the things we'll have clients look at is, what do the banks do with the money that they're collecting? Well, they turn around and lend out at higher rates, but they also take that money and they buy into a variety of different things, including short duration funds that really don't get affected by interest rates moving up. That's a concern if you're in a longer duration fund. And a lot of people look at the 10-year track record on long duration funds and go, wow, look at this great return. I'll put my money there. What they don't realize is when interest rates start going up, they're going to lose money on that.
Wow.
So that's a danger. But if you stick with the short duration, you could get returns that are still around 4-5%. It's better than a CD. And if you're in a well-diversified fund where you've got things spread out among, you know, 20 to 50 different securities, it's a relatively safe thing to do. And if you look at the banks, that's what they're doing, a chunk with the monies they have on deposit. So my argument is, why allow the bank to make money off of that when you can go
just
into
do
some
it
of
your,
that?
Just do it yourself.
Yeah.
Now, what about annuities? Because you hear a lot about annuities, and you hear a lot of bad things. You hear some good things, but you hear a lot of bad things too about annuities. Talk to us about those.
Annuities are sort of picked on by a lot of the financial press, and they're a very, very good investment for some of your money most of the time. And there's a lot of very, very fine companies out there that have been writing annuities for years, and there's several different types.
Yeah. Annuities are interesting because there are several different varieties, and in the scope of this program, we can't go into the details. But I will say there have been annuities that have been sold for the wrong reasons or sold for the wrong purpose, and that's unfortunate, and that's where a lot of the bad press comes from. But you can get annuities today. There's guarantees you can get today that were non-existent 4 or 5 years ago, that especially for somebody looking for supplementary retirement income, you can get a guaranteed stream of income that a lot of times far outweighs what you get at the bank.
And I always say this, you know, you've got to educate yourself, because you need to understand what all the options and opportunities are out there and what each one of them brings with it, so that you can make the best decision for yourself.
Right.
So for some financial questions and to get some financial education, how can people reach you guys?
Probably the best way would be to call, and our phone number is 805 384-9212. That's 384-9212. And
don't forget, we don't charge for a first-time consultation for any of the listeners. If they want to come in and just sit down and talk, we're more than help.
And that's really important, because that's how you start the education.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Stephen and Kevin, you know, every time you come in, I learn something new every single time you come in. You guys are a wealth of knowledge. How long you guys been in business? Let people know how long you guys been in business, because it's been a while.
Yeah, I've been in the financial markets for 30 years.
Yeah, nearly 25 for me.
So 55 years experience between the two of you. And guys that have been around that we can trust. And that's what you need when you have an advisor, right?
Right, absolutely.
That's the most important thing, I think, right? So thank you guys so much. And I, again, if in case you didn't hear that the first time, Stephen said, you know, give him a call. There's no cost to sit down with them and start talking and start getting that education so that you can work with these skilled people, these skilled guys about what your personal portfolio should look like. Everyone's is going to look different.
Right.
Your age, your wealth, what your risk appetite is, I guess, for lack of a better term. And the most important thing is to get yourself educated. We're at the end of the hour. That's it.
So quickly.
Again.
Every time.
And yet, we are still amazed.
We need to invest in more time, I think, is what we need to do.
Can you guys help us with that? Guys, everybody out there, thank you so much for listening. If you miss any of this information, please go to graymattersradio.com. That's gray with an E, G-R-E-Y, mattersradio.com. All this information will be up there. Links to our great sponsors, Stephen and Kevin of Arnold Financial Services. Of course, thanks to Jim Duran and Cypress Place for being our major sponsor right now. Thank you so much.
And I got to tell you, have a great rest of the day. Have a great weekend. And I think Donnie and Spencer are coming up, aren't they?
I think they are. Horsepower for an Hour is coming up next. So thanks very much. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday.